Amen. Let's turn to Genesis chapter 16. We're dealing with Abraham and this walk of faith, this man of faith. You know, there's no life you can look at in the whole Bible that you'll learn more about how to walk by faith and what a walk of faith is, what it means to live by faith and to be just or justified by faith. Last week we dealt with that Genesis chapter 15, just all the wonderful blessings of that chapter, the blessings of Abraham, just justified by faith, not by his works, not by his efforts, not by religious activity, absolutely just, absolutely made perfectly righteous by faith in what Christ had done for him. We see all the wonderful blessings, but the great mark of chapter 15 is the covenant that God made with himself before Abraham, but allowed Abraham to enter in and to understand this wonderful blood covenant that God had made with himself. Every true covenant, the real covenant of grace that's taught about in the Bible, is a covenant that God makes with himself. Psalm 110 says, "The Lord swear unto the Lord." It is God the Father speaking to Jesus Christ the Son, and they're talking together and making covenant together concerning the ministry of Christ as high priest to the church. All of this goes on in eternity, and we have it revealed in the Bible. But we're going to leave chapter 15 and we're going to chapter 16. Chapter 15, we had that wonderful covenant dealt with. But in chapter 16, my message is the two covenants. No longer just one covenant, but two covenants. And we're going to meet two covenants in chapter 16. Please read with me. Genesis chapter 16, verse 1. Now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian. I wonder where they got the Egyptian handmaid, this slave, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abraham, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abraham hearkened to the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abraham to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarai said unto Abraham, "My wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between me and thee." But Abraham said unto Sarai, "Behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee." And when Sarai dwelt hardly with her, she fled from her face. And the angel of the Lord found her by a fountain of water in the wilderness, by the fountain in the way to Shuar. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, whence camest thou, and whither wilt thou go?" And she said, "I flee from the face of my mistress Sarai." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Return to thy mistress, and submit thyself under her hands." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "I will multiply thy seed exceedingly, that it shall not be numbered for multitude." And the angel of the Lord said unto her, "Behold, thou art with child, and shalt bear a son, and shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord hath heard thy affliction, and he will be a wild man, and his hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." And she called the name of the Lord that spake unto her, "Thou God seest me." For she said, "Have I also here looked after him that seeth me?" Wherefore the well was called Berlo Hai Roi, Behold, it is between Kadesh and Bered. And Hagar bare Abraham a son, and Abraham called his son's name, which Hagar bare, Ishmael. And Abraham was 86 years old when Hagar bare Ishmael to Abraham. Father, will you just help us again? Lord God, we want to walk in the footsteps of our father Abraham. Lord God, we want to learn from the footsteps of faith and from the footsteps of unbelief. Lord God, we're asking that you raise up our hearts to walk by faith. Don't allow us to fear. Lord God, don't allow this natural mind to kick in a way. Lord God, where feelings and emotions and fears dictate what we'll do. But Father, I'm praying that you raise up a strong faith within our hearts where we'll lay hold of your promises. Lord God, that we won't get weary or tired and waiting on you, but Lord God, we'll be strong in faith until you perform your holy promise. Just help us as we come to this message. Open up these two covenants. Teach us from these two women, Lord God, Sarai and Hagar. Lord God, we open our hearts. My God, I pray for the anointing and the unction of God that changes in our heart. We're asking that you'd shut us in with yourself. We need you to have a dealing with our hearts. We need to be set free from law and legalism. Lord God, from trying to do things in the power of our own flesh, with our own thinking and our own intellect. My God, will you deliver us from these things? We want to cast an eye of these things, but we want the grace of God to work mightily in our hearts in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Our message is the two covenants as we deal with these two ladies. First of all, Sarai and Hagar in this chapter. When we reach chapter 16 of Genesis, Abraham is 85 years old. He's spent 10 years in the land of Canaan. He's walked with God many years. He's had great victories of faith. He's walked with God. He's had revelations from God. He's learned the name of God, the character of God. The covenant of God has been revealed unto him. He's realized the reality of being justified by faith, that the righteousness of God has been made his righteousness, that all of the promises of God have been made to him. How many promises have been made unto this man? How many revelations of God come unto him? How many times did God speak to his heart? How has God provided for him and led for him? You would think that such a man that has had such experiences with God would never doubt God again. You would think such a man of faith that was able to be victorious over the king of Sodom by turning down all the wealth of Sodom, by being victorious of all those kings that come up against Sodom. You would think such a man of faith who has walked with God would never have another doubt, never have another fear, and would not use this natural mind to try and bring about God's will. I wish I didn't have to deal with Genesis chapter 16, but we do, because it's all a vital part of Abram's life. It's sad to say that chapter 16 is not a step of faith, but it was a step of unbelief once again. Just like Abraham, through unbelief, went down into Egypt because he was scared to trust God, we find in this chapter 16 that again, Abraham makes a tragic decision through unbelief and not trusting to God wholly. Here he is, a man, 85 years old. He's been praying, believing, trusting, looking, walking with God, waiting for God to do what God said. And he's still waiting. Do you know what you need to add to faith is patience. Without patience, you will not enter into the promise of God. What happened here? You have Abraham having a conversation with Sarai. Both of them have waited a long time. They're waiting for this son, this child. You see, all of the promises of God, the whole plan of God hinges on this one child being born. God had already said that it's going to be through Abraham. Do you remember last week? Abraham came to a point where he thought, it's going to be through my servant. It's going to have to be through one of these men in my house. God said, no, it won't be through Eliezer. It's going to be you. I am going to use you, Abraham, to bring forth a child that shall breath forth a seed more than the stars of heaven and more than the sand on the seashore. But here we reach a point after all of these dealings and all the promises of God where Abram and Sarai are having a conversation. Husbands and wives ought to be careful when they have a conversation. Is Christ in the midst of those conversations? Is it the will of God? Is it the plan of God? Or is it their own thinking and feeling? Now, it says here in verse 1, now Sarai, Abraham's wife, bare him no children, and she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. Here's Hagar, her servant. Now Sarai's at a place, she's beginning to think, now I can believe that God's going to use Abraham to do this, but I cannot believe that God is going to use me. Yes, God will honor his faith. But surely I must be out of the picture here. And here's Sarah beginning to reason for the first time about these things. For the first time she comes to the conclusion that she is excluded from being caught up in this wonderful plan. Oh yes, she'll be a part of it, but she's not vital to it. She hasn't yet learned that it's going to be her faith that brings all this to pass. She little realizes how vital that she is, that God has been preparing her, that God has been preserving her. Do you remember down in Egypt, the Pharaoh took her and would have taken her to be his wife, but God intervened and threatened to kill Pharaoh. Do you remember that plague that came into the home? So we see that God, all through these years, has been preparing Sarai to bring forth Isaac, but she doesn't realize it. And you know what? If you're not careful, you can be walking with God, you're born again, but you little realize that the promises of God for you, they're for somebody else, they're for the preacher, they're for others in the church, but not for me. Oh yes, I'm caught up in this church. Yes, I'm caught up in the work of God, but really those promises are for someone else. I want to tell you, that's a lie from the pit of hell. God has saved you, and the promises of God are for you. God isn't going to use someone else. God is going to use you. This is an issue of faith, a real issue of faith. Will God use you to bring forth his plan in this church? No, don't look at everybody else. Will God use you as a specific individual in this church to bring forth his will in this city? That's exactly where Sarai was at. She come to a place where she knew God was going to use Abraham. After all, God specifically said it. But all she was caught up in this movement. Yes, she believed it. Yes, she wanted it. Yes, she desired it. But she knew that it was impossible for God to use her. She's barren in womb. It's an impossibility for God to use her. She starts to think with her natural mind. She starts to think with her feelings. And it excludes faith. If you're not very careful, your feelings, your intellect, how you think will exclude faith. But faith says God will use you. Feelings, emotions, thoughts say you're out of the picture. What is it? How is it that you walk with God? Notice here that she begins to reason with the natural mind of how to bring about God's plan. Yes, it's God's will. Now we're dealing with born again people. People in the covenant of grace. People who are walking by faith. And that's what this chapter is about. How you live your life as a Christian when you're in covenant with God. When you've been made righteous. When you know that your sins are forgiven. When you know there's faith in your heart. When you're believing the promises. But how are you going to live your life before God? Don't look at others. Look to your own self. Here is Sarai beginning to reason out how the plan of God for their family will come to pass. How is God going to do what he said he would do? That natural mind can be very dangerous unless it's washed with the word of God. Unless your thoughts are changed and conformed to the written word of God, you may have a problem with the thoughts that linger in your mind. You'd think after all of these years of faith that Abraham and Sarai would be beyond this. But I want to tell you, it doesn't matter how far you get down the road, you can suddenly find that mind coming up and beginning to reason you out of a walk of faith. That's what was happening to Sarah. Nothing more, nothing less. Her natural mind was taking her out of the realm of living by faith, and she was going to miraculously live by faith in the days ahead. But here she is, her thinking takes her away from a supernatural walk in the spirit by faith to a walk on a natural plane, trying to bring spiritual things about by natural means. You can never do that. Here she is in the flesh, living in the flesh and by the flesh. And in this verse 1 it says that she has a handmaid, an Egyptian called Hagar. Where did Hagar come from? Egypt. When did Abraham and Sarai pick her up? When did she become the servant or the handmaiden of Sarai? It was on the visit to Egypt. Be careful of the things that you pick up in Egypt. We do a little detour and we go off and do something. Then we come back and get right with God. And we forget there's a Hagar there. There's a Hagar you brought back in with you. I tell you, be careful of the things that you bring in from Egypt. So here's Sarai. She begins to reason. Here's my servant. Here's my maid. Hagar, surely she can be a part of this plan. I cannot be used to bring forth a child, but God could use her. Do you know what she's beginning to do? She's beginning to be affected by the custom of the day. The culture she come out of in Ur of the Chaldees, that was the normal contemporary way of doing things. That was the culture of their day. It was nothing wrong. It was just the way people lived in that day, just like they do this day. It was very normal in that contemporary society for a lady to give her handmaid to her husband in order to have a child and in order to increase their household. That was perfectly normal. But it was not the plan of God. Here's Sarai being affected by contemporary society. And I'm going to tell you, there's a lot of that in the church. The thinking of the world out there has got into the church, but God help us, we'll keep it out of this church by His grace and His mercy. I don't want the thinking of the world to get in here. I don't want the religious mind to get in here. I want us as a church to walk by faith, that what God does in our midst, it's going to be supernatural. No man, no woman can do it. We are going to have to walk by faith. We want to see a revival of the Holy Spirit of God. You're not going to create a revival. You're not going to create a church that's going to glorify God in this city. We're going to have to do this by faith alone. We're looking for God to do something that no ministry, no preaching, no man, nobody can do. Saints, let's believe God. But here's Sarai. She's thinking with the thoughts of the contemporary society. She's starting to use her natural reasoning. She's thinking back to the days when she lived in Ur of the Chaldees in the world. That old mind is coming back up again. And she's beginning to reason the way she would have done in her past life. Be very careful of that old mind that hasn't been renewed. Paul in the New Testament talks about having your mind renewed by the washing of the water of the Word of God. In other words, this Bible, the truths in it, wash your mind. It changes your thinking from carnal, fleshly, natural thinking to be in the mind of Christ, to thinking as He would think. Now notice what Sarai says here. In verse 2, and Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, see if she kept it to herself, now she's sharing it with her husband. Wives, be careful. Husbands, be careful. Let's bring God into our conversations. Don't allow family conversations to take place unless it's the mind of Christ. Even amongst friends, let it be Christ. In our fellowship as a church, we can never afford for that natural mind to come in. Sarai said unto Abraham, behold now, the Lord has restrained me. So it's God's fault. God has restrained me. It sounds very spiritual. Oh, I believe in the sovereignty of God. If God wanted me to have a child, I'd be pregnant now. If God wanted me to be the vessel, I would be bringing that child forth, or it would have happened already. So obviously, because it hasn't happened, it's not going to happen. God will use somebody else. This is what she begins to preach to Abram. This is what she's given to him. The Lord has restrained me. The Lord is sovereign. The Lord doesn't want me to have a child. Sarai, you're so wrong. Do you know it's possible for a genuine believer to be wrong? You can be thinking God's will something when it's not. God actually has a plan to use you in a great way, and you don't believe it, you don't know it, you don't see it, you don't understand it. And yet all the time God is saying, Sarah, if only you knew, I am going to use you to bring forth a child that's going to be one of the most beautiful pictures of the birth of Christ. One of the most beautiful. And yet here Sarah talking to Abraham, saying, God has restrained me. He shut my womb. God has done this. Let's look for another way to do it. We'll stop walking by faith, and now we'll start working to bring God's plan about. It's not going to be that way, so we'll do it another way. Now Sarai's going to draw on all her intellect, her feelings, her knowledge, her experience, her great wisdom to bring God's plan about. She says to Abram, I pray unto thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her. So it was for her. It was for the raising up of a house. She is very much involved. She's got a scheme and a plan how to help God. Be very careful. I'm giving you a lot of carefuls this morning. But be very careful of helping God. God doesn't need your help. What he does need is an empty vessel that says, Lord, use me in any way. He doesn't need someone saying, now how are we going to do this? All he wants is a yielded life, a yielded vessel, and he'll do everything he said. But here's Sarah saying now to Abraham, go in unto my maid. And Abram hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Abram is no longer walking by faith. He's no longer going to God. He's no longer checking this with God. He's now going to rest his confidence in Sarah. Now that changes everything. When you put all of your confidence in those around you, or another Christian, rather than God himself, you're on a whole different realm. When I begin to give you advice, if it's not God's advice, you're going to begin to look at me. That's why I'm very careful about the wisdom and advice I give. Because if you get into trouble, do you know what you're going to say? You said. I would far rather say, God's word says, now you deal with him alone. I don't want to give you my wisdom, or I'll be responsible for my wisdom. But if I give you God's word, it's you and him alone. You'll have to do that. It says that Abraham hearkened unto her. And Sarai, Abraham's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abraham had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and he gave her to her, to her husband Abraham, to be his wife. And he went in unto Hagar, and she conceived. And when he saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Here it is. Abraham, the man of faith. Do you know all the promises God has ever gave to me? This is what Abraham's thinking now. Abraham and Sarah have brought all their thinking down to a natural plane. We are going to bring spiritual promises and plans and God's will. It's now left to us. You know, Abram, Sarai, well, it's just you and me. God's been so good. He's done so much for us. He's made us righteous. He brought us out of land. He's provided for us. He's brought us this far. But now in this point, it's up to us. We've got to do something. This has got to be by our efforts. It's left in our hands. We've got to do all that we can do. But they're in terrible trouble at this point. And we're told that he went into Hagar and she conceived. This is Abram bringing about the will of God. He thinks that in this action, everything that God has been speaking to him, this is how to do it. It's going to be by this, but you and I know it wasn't. He was absolutely wrong. He was actually stepping out to do something that would have very great consequences, which he little realized. If only he stood still and said, Lord, I'm not going to the left, I'm not going to the right, I'm not doing anything. I'm trusting you. What you tell me to do, I'm going to do that. That's what I'm going to do. But here, Hagar conceives a child within her womb. Here she is over these months. Her belly begins to grow. And as she feels that life within her, Hagar now says, now remember, she's a slave. She's an Egyptian. She isn't in covenant like Abraham and Sarai are. She's an outcast. But she is in that household of faith. Here she is now. She begins to feel that new life birthing within her. She begins to think, I actually have taken the place of Sarai. What Sarai could not do, I will do. This is what Hagar begins to think. And you know what she does? She begins to look down on Sarai. And she begins to mock her or treat her very lightly. You see, now Hagar is going to birth forth all the plan of God. All the prophecies, all the promises, all the prayers down over the years. Hagar's going to do it. And she starts treating Sarai like nothing. You see, here is Hagar saying, it'll be through me now that the child of promise is going to be born. Do you know what all of this is? It's unbelief. It's the flesh working. It's man's mind working to bring about God's will. But that can never be. You see, there's consequences of it. First of all, this plan originated with Sarai and with Abraham. But once Sarai began to be treated like this, then everything is different. You see, she had a plan and a strategy. Now she's beginning to suffer for it. Her maid is now looking down on her. That isn't nice. It goes further in verse 5. And Sarai said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. Yes, take it out on your husband. So here's Sarai turning to Abraham now and said, you're to blame. You're to blame. It's your fault. Do you know what? If you hadn't talked about that child all down these years, see that dream of faith you had of serving God and of becoming an old man with a son who's going to populate the nation and this land. You and your dream, your spiritual vision, your faith have got us in trouble. Now Sarai is beginning to resent Abram, blaming Abram. Poor Abram standing there saying, well, I just done what you told me to do. I was just going along with your plan. This was your plan. Sarai got Abram in hot water. And now what does Sarai do? She blames the man. It's the old-fashioned blame game, isn't it? When the Lord in Genesis comes to Eve and challenges her, says, when the Lord comes to Adam and said, Adam, where are you? And challenges him, what does he do? He blames the woman. It's the woman that you gave me. You gave her to me. She made me sin. And then the woman said, she takes it and says, oh, it was the serpent who done it. He told me to eat. It's always the blame game. That's what it is to step out of a walk of faith and be ruled by the flesh. Yes, it's religious flesh. Notice, it wants to bring about the will of God. It's not looking for the things of the world. It's not even looking for possessions. It's wanting to fulfill all the promises, prophecies, and will of God. This is the best the flesh can do. And it says, we will bring it to pass. But here Sarai blaming Abram, my wrong be upon thee. You're to blame, Abraham. I have given my maid into thy bosom, and when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. Sarai, you should have thought of that before. The Lord judge between me and thee. Now she wants God to judge. Sarai, you're getting in hot water. You get them into this trouble. You suggest you're affected by the contemporary trends in the church. Now you're regretting it. Do you know what's all through the church? Our Hagar churches in this hour. Hagar movements. With all, and then they're being brought into the church to create something spiritual. We cannot do that. Many in the church are thinking with the natural mind, trying to bring forth something spiritual, revivals, movements, change things in the church. But it's so dangerous when you try to bring spiritual things about by the flesh. It says in verse 6, but Abram said unto Sarai, behold, Thy maid is in thine hand. The poor man didn't know what to do. Do you know when you get out of faith, you don't know what to do. You know, a man walking in faith, he knows what to do. A woman walking in faith, oh yes, there may be many things you don't know. But you say, trust God. We're going to pray. We're going to walk with God. Or you're talking to someone and they're making a suggestion. Don't do that. It's against the word of God. Don't you be doing that. Don't be going there. Don't be in a relationship with that person. Don't be there in that job. That's what a man of faith will do. But as soon as you get someone out into unbelief, even a Christian, they'll give you all sorts of advice. Sure, it's okay. You can go there. You can be that. You can do all these things. You can keep all of your ambitions and be a Christian. That's why the church is in a mess. It's listen to that sort of counsel and advice. But here's Abraham. He says, look, I'm not touching this thing. She's in your hand. You do with her whatever you're going to do. See, he's not acting in faith. He doesn't know what to do. He's in a dilemma. Here he is. He's brought forth the conception of a child in this womb. Now Sarai resents it and doesn't want it. Does that not sound like how people are? God gives you what you demand and you don't want it. Be very careful what you demand of God, because God will give you something. It's an answer to prayer. Oh, I prayed it. I demand it. Be very careful what you pray for and what you demand, because God may give you something and you'll find in hindsight it's a hindrance and a problem to you, and you wish you could get rid of it and you can't get rid of it. You'll have an Ishmael in the home and you go, oh, I wish I'd never birthed him or conceived him. But you did, Abraham, a man of God. Sarai, Abraham, you are responsible for the conception of this child. You are responsible. Notice what it says, that she's given into the hand of Sarai. And Sarai begins to treat her roughly or badly. And it says that she flees from Sarah out into the wilderness, wouldn't you? Here's Sarai. One minute she's wanting to use Hagar. Notice that she's wanting to use Hagar. We can use Hagar to bring about the plan of God. Now when she realizes what she wants, what has happened, she wants rid of Hagar. So she chases Hagar out. She's so rough with Hagar. Hagar runs for her life. Says, I'm not being treated like this. I've conceived the child of promise. I've got the child of Abraham in my womb. There's churches in our world today. They've got preaching. They talk about Jesus. They talk about being born again. They say they have the Holy Ghost. And it's a confused mess. But there's pride there thinking, we are the real church. We have all of these things. Don't tell us what to do. We're not submitting to Sarai. Sarai is the real. Hagar is not the real. The child is going to come through Sarai, not Hagar. But yet most of the church out there, they're bursting for something, thinking it's of God, because Abraham, the man of faith, is involved with it. God isn't involved with it. God wants nothing to do with it. Now let me bring you to something. I've shared this story, some of the practicalities, and there's more to say, but let me take you to what Paul says about it. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 24, he starts talking about Sarai and Hagar, and in verse 24 he says this, and concerning these two ladies, he said, which things are an allegory. Now what is an allegory? It's actually a story with a hidden meaning. And he's talking about Sarai and Hagar. In other words, this story of Hagar and Sarai, there's a hidden meaning. There's a hidden message from God in it. And Paul in Galatians 4, in 10 short verses, he explains it all for the church. Do you know what had happened to the church at Galatia? They started well. They started out of revival. Paul went preaching there and he prayed for the sick and miracles happened. And he prayed, laid hands on them and they received the Holy Ghost. And great things happened. Thousands turned to Christ. And churches got raised up in lots of those towns. and started to move forward in God. Everybody was rejoicing. Everybody was dancing. Everybody was clapping their hands. We are living by faith. They were born again by faith, made perfectly righteous. But you know what happened to those churches? Some messengers came from Jerusalem. Oh, they believed in being born again. They believed in the blood. They believed in the Holy Spirit. And they come in amongst the Galatians and start saying, ah, but you're lacking some things. And you know what? They started to preach the law of God as well as the grace of God. Works as well as grace. They started to preach, don't be thinking you don't have to do something. You do need to do. You need to do this. If you're going to be accepted by God, there's things you have to do. If you're going to have a sense of the forgiveness of God, you're going to have to start doing things. Or you're going to have to make yourself acceptable unto God in order to experience His grace and His mercy. And you know what happened? The churches of Galatia went wrong. They went off track, and Paul has to write to them and said, you believed another gospel. Oh yes, they're still talking about Jesus. And what Paul says in this Galatians 4, he begins to preach to them about Sarai and Hagar. And his message is the two covenants. In verse 24 he says, which things are an allegory, a story, or a hidden meaning within the story. For those are the two covenants. He's speaking about these two ladies. They represent two different covenants. Sarai represents the covenant of grace. Hagar represents the covenant of law. And when we look at the story of Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar, we are looking at a man. Will he live by grace or will he live by law? Will he live by a covenant of grace or is he living by a covenant of law? And for the next 13 years, Abraham battles over this issue. You see, in chapter 15, he is walking by faith. He is in a covenant of grace. Everything is of God and he just believes. You cannot work that up. You cannot be good enough. You cannot earn acceptance. You don't earn your way back into the favor of God. You cannot do that. But here in chapter 16, now we have Abram in a dilemma. Two ladies. And eventually two sons will come forth from them. But this represents two ways to serve God. You see, you as a born again Christian can either serve God through Sarai or through Hagar. They represent two different covenants and two different ways of living for God. Well, do you know what happened here? Sarah drove Hagar out. And she ran out into the wilderness. And she's going to die, but the angel of the Lord comes back to her. Comes to her. And she's sitting there. And he speaks to her. She's on her way back to Egypt, back to mommy, back home. That's where she's going, with that child. You know what? Sarai and Abraham brought forth something. Now they want rid of it. Let's get rid of Hagar, the law. We have now done something. We don't want to live with the consequence. Can I tell you something? You can be forgiven, but you'll have to live with the consequence with everything you do as a Christian. And for most of you, it's good to learn it now, so you don't make those mistakes in the future. You can walk in here, be absolutely, totally forgiven. But in your life, you can make a decision that will affect you for the next 20 years. You can marry the wrong person and you'll have to live with the tragedy of it. Or you could set your course in a certain direction. Or make a decision that will affect your life for years and you'll have to live with it for the next 20 years. But yet you're a Christian. You're born again, your sins are forgiven. And that's what happened here. Sarah is trying to get rid of the problem. And she's driven out into the wilderness. But God says it's not that easy. The angel of the Lord meets Hagar with that child in her womb. And look in verse 9, it says, and the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hand. To submit means to bow down. Now this is showing the place of grace and law in the home of Abraham. Sarai should be in control in that home. She runs the affairs of that home. She represents grace. Did Abraham do anything to get her? No. And she was a beautiful lady, even in her old age. All you ladies would want to have Sarai's skin. When she was a very elderly lady, into her 80s and 90s, kings wanted to marry her. And that's a beautiful lady, isn't it? Here she is, under the hot sun, yet a beautiful lady. She's a picture of the covenant of grace. Abraham didn't need to do anything to earn her. She loves him. He loves her. Why would he swap living with Hagar? There's no fellowship with Hagar. There's no past with Hagar. Hagar hasn't done her any good. She come out of Egypt. But here is a man who joins himself to the law. And now, what is he trying to do? He's trying to do things by the flesh. He started in the spirit. He started in faith. Now he's reached a point in his walk of faith where he says, now I have to do something. It's not by faith anymore. It's what I'm going to do. And that will please God. And God will use what I'm going to do. No, he won't do that. There's two covenants here. And what she does, Hagar does come back and submit herself to Sarai. The law of God should always be submitted to the grace of God. We don't cast the law of God out. Sarai was wrong. God hasn't finished with the law. The law is good. What does the Bible say? Romans, Paul says the law of God is good. There's nothing wrong with the law. God has not finished with the law. It's still in place, but we don't serve God by the law. The law of God is there, submitted to the grace of God. So now we see in Abraham's home, the law comes back and submits itself to the grace of God. So the grace of God is now ruling in the home, but we still have a problem, don't we? We've got a mother with a child conceived in her womb. Very shortly, Ishmael is born. He's born, and it says in verse 12, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him. But he will dwell in the midst of his brethren. Now look at it, Ishmael. Who is Ishmael? It's that which is birthed by Christians in the church because of their lack of faith. It's decisions. It's churches. It's ministries, it's ideas, it's strategies, it's new teachings. And Ishmael is something birthed by a Christian that God never planned. It came out of the flesh and the thinking of men and women in the church, but it was never God's plan. We are told that Ishmael is born here in this home and for the next 13 years grows. Abraham treats him like his own son. He actually thinks this still is God's way. Abraham has never repented. He tried to get rid of the problem and the consequences. But now he thinks this child is his child. This is the fulfillment of the promise. For 13 years he clothes him. He feeds him. He looks after him. He trains him. But all the time that child is a wild child. His hand is against everyone else. And their hand is against him. He's a troublemaker. He's a rebel. He's not a part of that home. He doesn't have the faith of Abraham. He doesn't have the relationship with God. He's not in covenant with God. He's an utter rebel in his heart. 13 long years, Abraham is battling over this issue of law and grace. I thought it was by grace, but here's a man of faith trying to serve God by law, trying to impress God, trying to work his way back into the favor of God. And saints, let me tell you, this is why the book of Romans was written, and this is why Hebrews was written, and this is why Galatians was written, because Christians in the early church got confused over law and grace. Well, now that I'm a Christian, I'm going to go back to the law and try to live by the law. No, you're to live by faith. Well, now I'm going to use all my faculties and all my abilities and all my knowledge to know how to walk with before God. No, you have to walk in the Spirit. None of that is acceptable to you. And there's a great battle waging in the church of this generation, right across the nations, about law and grace. And you know, in this city, many people, they're caught up in a religious system, living by law. They're married to Hagar. but they think they're getting to heaven. But she's a slave. It's laws, it's bondage. God never meant the Christian life to be that. Ritual, trying to be accepted, trying to earn the favour of God. That is law or legalism. We've come out of that, haven't we? We've come out of Islam, come out of Catholicism, come out of all of that. And now it's a walk by faith. Don't go back there. Get Hagar out of that home. 13 long years. Ishmael is growing in his home. He is not the fulfillment of God's plan, but Abraham's looking after it. Guarding it. Do you know what we do with many things? We set things in motion, and then we're going to give 13 years of our efforts, our labor, our time, our finance to keep it floating. Don't go there. Do not step out of the will of God and start trying to bring about your own Ishmaels. You won't get an Isaac. You will get an Ishmael when you do that. 13 years he's here growing in this home. But thank God, we do read that at the end of those 13 years, when Abraham is 99 years old, God meets with him. Do you know all through those 13 years, God doesn't once speak to Abraham? Not once in 13 years. Here he is, he's got his desire, he's got an Ishmael. Here he is, he's got a boy. That boy is about shoulder height with him now, 13 years old. He's growing. Well, this has to be the promise of God. I put a lot of work into this. Do you know what? God's going to break it up. It was your work. God isn't interested in what you can do for him. He's interested in what he will do through you. He's looking for a vessel to bring something forth. He doesn't want you to present him with something. Well, we've built a nice church for you. I don't want it. All I wanted was you to give yourself and allow me to work in you and through you. 99 years old. When God meets with him and speaks with him again and deals with his heart. 99 years old, and that's when Sarai falls pregnant. It took him 13 years to get to the place of faith again. It took Sarai 13 years of walking through this battle with Hagar and Ishmael. Watching Ishmael grow every day. Can you imagine her heart? Can you imagine the brokenness of her heart? She represents the grace of God. But yet it's the law having its way in Abraham's home. That is terrible. When the law of God has its way in your life, you become a legalist. Trying to appeal to God's favor. Hey, it's only the cross, only the blood. Come back to Calvary every step of the way. Don't be moved from the blood of the Lamb. This whole chapter is about Abraham and the two covenants. Will you serve God through the covenant of grace or the covenant of law? Yes, you started with the covenant of grace, but have you moved to a covenant of law? Two ladies, two covenants. Two ways to walk with God. In chapter 21, we read again of a day coming when young Ishmael, Isaac is beginning to grow in that home. Ishmael begins to persecute him. He hates him. He has no love for him. He begins to despise him. And Sarah sees this, that her child is being despised by Ishmael. Who's to blame for all this? Sarai and Abram. They're to blame for it. Sarai is heartbroken because of her own ideas, her own plans. She got herself into this situation. 13 years and now much more. And as she watches Isaac grow, Ishmael's persecuting him, hates him. But in chapter 21, we're told that Sarai has had enough. And she goes to Abram and says, cast the bondwoman out. Get her out of this tent. And you know what? Abram's not willing to do that. The first time he listened to her, it was wrong, wasn't it? Do you know what? Now she's speaking by the Spirit. 13 years and a whole lot more years, God has been working in her heart and brought her right back to be a woman of faith. Now she's got an Isaac. Now she's walking by faith. Now she's brought something back forth in faith, and God is working in her life and her heart. And you know what? She says, get that bondwoman out. I want Ishmael out of here. I want Hagar out of here. I want nothing of the law in this home. And you know what? We need to drive the law of God out of our home. Yes, it's good to lead us to God, but we cannot live with it and by it. We cannot attain on to that. In chapter 21, Abraham is grieved. He cares about this little boy he's raised all through these years. He thinks of it as his son as much as Isaac. But you know what? God says, listen to Sarai. You need a listener. Cast her out. Have no mercy on the law or on the flesh. Get it out of here. God says that to Abraham. And so they cast Hagar and Ishmael out. Paul says, these things are an allegory, for these are two different covenants, two different ways to serve God, and two different lives as a Christian. Abraham had a 13-year battle in this chapter between law and grace, between two ladies. Isn't that a terrible place? Any man that gets caught between two women, he's in trouble. He's in serious trouble. Well, I tell you, any Christian that gets caught between these two covenants, does serve them by grace or does serve them by law? Well, I got in by grace, now I can start keeping the commandments and trying to be good. Now, there's a big difference between these two covenants, and Abraham spent years wrestling over it. And because he gave time to the law and started to try and serve God through the covenant of law, he ended up with an Ishmael. And we have that problem today. All the Arabic Muslim nations birthed out of Ishmael. Many of those Middle Eastern nations that are knocking at the gates of Israel, who did they come out of? Ishmael. All those Middle East wars, Ishmael. He's a fighter. He's a man of war. He's a rebel. He's born of the flesh, of the mind of man. But yet it began with Abram and Sarai. It all began in their tent, in their home. And here's Ishmael. We have a Middle East problem between Israel and the Muslim nations because of this. Trying to serve God by the natural mind instead of faith. Abraham was a man of faith. Sarai was a woman of faith. But it would take years to get this out of them. They had to get free of Hagar that picked her up in Egypt. We can bring things in from the contemporary world that we've grown up in. Our family, our religion, and we try to make it a part of our Christianity. No. Do you know what God said to Abraham? He said, Eliezer, your servant, it's not coming through him. He then later said, Ishmael, he is not the seed. I've rejected him. I am going to give you a child through Sarai. Just have faith, Abraham. Don't try to do it yourself. I'm going to do the most miraculous, most amazing thing. And if you open up Matthew chapter 1 today, one of the first names you'll read is Abram. He's in the genealogy for the coming Messiah. Abram was put in there by faith. All of this by faith. Can I tell you as a church, just come into this issue of a church. We want a church raised up by faith, by prayer, by a walk in the Holy Spirit. Our power won't do anything. Your strength won't do anything. We don't need the gifts and abilities of people. We need hearts on fire for God. If ever you find you're going from faith to works and law and legalism, you need to get back to Calvary. Don't work your way back there. Come through repentance. Lord, forgive me. Lord, cleanse me. Lord, change me. Lord, I want to walk by faith and not by sight. We don't want an Ishmael in this church. We don't want Ishmael's birth out of this church. But we want an Isaac. Do you know what I believe? I believe we can see something birthed in this church that could touch this nation. I believe that. I believe that. I believe preaching can come out of this city that will touch many lives. I believe leaders can be raised up in this city. I believe other churches can be raised up out of this work. But not by the works of man. Not by religion. Not by trying to give it our best. It's going to be a moving of the Holy Spirit. We're praying for a genuine Holy Ghost revival. I'm praying for the power of God to come down on us as a church. I'm praying that God breaks in our meetings and baptizes us in the Holy Ghost. Don't let anyone give you tongues. Get hungry for God. You don't need all the gimmicks of religion. We need a visitation of God. And when God visits Sarah, she's going to bring forth a child that's going to give birth to a seed that will bless every family on the face of the planet. Please stand with me. The two covenants. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, help us, my God. We need your help this morning. Oh, let's ask him for help. We need his help. We need to be...